I had two in here. There's only one. All right, just kidding. Just joking. Relax. Smile. See what we got in here, folks. Oh, we still got a lot of goodies in here. Hey, let's fill it up, right? Fill up my cup. God is good?
All the time.
And all the time? All right. It is good to be in the house of the Lord another day. All right, here we go. All right, children, come up front. If you're not up front yet, come on up. I was going to do something to the back row, but you may not like me anymore, so I'll be nice to you tonight. Some years ago, I had revival meetings, and there was no one in the front four rows. The back was always filled. And one night I walked down to the back, and they said, we're going to play a game. Do you like games? Yeah, we like games. So back row, just stand. Follow me. They followed me up to the front. So if you go on that side, sit there. You go on this side and sit there. I was going to do that, but it'll be nice tonight. All right, children, help me out here. Now, what we need? We need some things here. We need a chair. Guess what we need again? We need a big guy. Who you guys want to choose tonight? Who's the big guy tonight? Come on, help me out. All right, come on up, young man. He says you, so you get the job. Yeah, you can't say no. Sorry. Got to come right up here. Stand up nice and tall. Okay, right here. All right. A nice small boy. See, you pointing to everyone. You come. Champion. Yeah, you come right here. You're the one always pointing. Pointing. I want to tell you a story that you know before, but we're going to look at it in a different way today. Don't be afraid. A long, long time ago. How long was that? How long was it? A long time ago. Right. Okay. Loosen up. You're the future generation. You got to laugh and clap and talk and, you know, enjoy church. All right. A long, long, long time ago, there was a little shepherd boy. His name was David. Oh, your name is Carson? No, your name is David now. Forget Carson. David. And David had a dad. Hey, dad, come over here. Yourself. Yeah, right. Don't look back. Right, you. Yeah. Come, dad. You're old enough to be a dad, right? No. Just kidding. He had a dad, and his dad's name was Jesse. His dad's name was Jesse. And Jesse told David, he said, David. No, David was a shepherd boy. Right, David?
Yeah.
Okay. So David was a shepherd boy. And the guy and his dad told him, Dear Amiel, Jesse, your brothers are going to fight in the battle against the Philistine. I want you to go and take some food for them. Take some food for them. Make sure they get well nutrition. That's not for you, you know. Anyway. And go and see and give them my greetings. All right, Dad, go back and sit down. So he went. In the meantime, there was this big, tall giant of a man named, what was his name? Goliath. Good. Goliath, right? Okay. This Goliath, big and handsome. He's handsome, big and handsome guy. And David came and he saw this big, handsome guy and looked strong. No, I said, look strong. That's kind of, how do you look strong, right? You're either strong or you're not strong. Okay, you look strong, okay. So, his big, ugly guy, good-looking guy, and he is looking at all the Philistine. Come on, I need a couple of Philistine boys. Come up here, boys. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. What are you? Come, yes, come. Just come. Yeah, go down there and stand. No, come here and stand behind him there. And David came and this big, good-looking guy with all the Philistine, and you know, and I need a couple more guys. Come on, you next five. Come over here. Yeah, you look weak and scary. Come over here, on this side. And these little weaklings and them, they're standing there, and they kind of, come on, look like you're scared. All right, and now Goliath is standing and he says, if anyone of you is big enough and bold enough and strong enough to fight me, and if you would win, are you saying my belly is big? I see you do something like that. Okay, good. Anyway, if you're big enough and bad enough to fight me and you win the battle, we'll serve you. But if you lose, you're going to serve. And they got scared. Come on, guys, get scared. Yeah, and they were scared. And David, you look at them and laugh at them. And David laughed at them. And then you look at the big, ugly giant. I mean, the good-looking giant. And he said, he said, this un... Should I use that word? No, that's not a good word. Let me find another word. You heathen. You heathen talking about my God? So he went and he got to Saul. Hey, come up here, Saul, with the glasses. Come up here, Saul. Good looking, tall, handsome Saul. And he went to the king. And he said to King Saul, he said, no, I heard King Saul, you know, if anybody slay that big, good looking giant, he's good looking, right? Let him believe that, right? Come a little closer. Don't be afraid of him. If anybody slay my hair, we get your daughter in hand. And she's good stuff. Anyway, let's get to the story. They didn't say that in the Bible. I'm just putting that in, okay? Don't say I quote the Bible there. Anyhow, so Saul, being a big guy, he says, listen. Now, I know you want to do a good job, but you know what? Borrow my armor. Take my armor, take my shield. And so David put it on. But guess what? It was too what? Too heavy and too big. But he said, well, yeah, you know, he's a big guy. He said, listen, you know, there was one time the bear came and they wanted to get my sheep. And what you did? You slay them. Remember that time? You don't remember that time? Yeah, it was a long time ago, yeah. Anyway, I slay them. And there was the next time again, a lion came. Remember when the lion came to get my sheep? What you did? That's right. And guess what? The same God that gave me the strength and the power to kill those creatures, that bear and that lion, would give that big, good-looking, big giant into my hands today. So Saul went back and sat on his throne. And David came and he stood up. He said, Peter, come on up front, man. Oh, not so close. Scaring the boy. His parents are here, you know that, right? Be careful. Anyway. So David stood up and you get a slingshot. Give me the food, man. I'm trying to take my stuff. You got a slingshot and a little rock. Where's the stone? Oh, you got a little stone in his hand there. And the giant has his big sword and shield and armor and all you can see is little glasses, right? And you see his, you gotta stop smiling. You gotta be serious. Oh, good. Man, you scared me there. Anyway, he stood up there and he looked at him and he said, what am I, a dog? You come with me with stones and sticks. I'll devour you. And David, you're a brave boy. He said, listen, see the God I serve, the mighty God I serve, today, it's not about David, no? The God that I serve is going to deliver you into my hands. I'm going to take you out, boy. Just like, you know, the God allowed me to take out that bear and that lion. And sound nice and strong. And then start swinging your slingshot now. Swing, 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 swing. And keep going up to him now. Hit him now. Bang. Hey, be careful now. We have insurance here. Fall down, but don't fall down like that. Yeah, fall good. Oh, man. I'm not responsible for the appearance. And then he ran up and did the rest of the work. Yeah, don't say that. All right, go back and sit down. We're going to talk about this story here now. Thank you. Give him a little round of applause. They did a good job. All right. Now, I put some parts in the story. Someone told me last night, I don't know if it was serious or they were joking, but he said, Daniel followed. And when he tells you something, add 2 to it, divide it by 4, and you might get the truth. So maybe I did put a couple of things in there that wasn't real. But, you know, that's what the movies does, right? To make it entertaining. But you see, there's a moral in the story. This was a young man. You're young. And sometimes people think because you're young, you know, you're not able to do. But God will do things in you. Children, I want you to listen to this. God will do things in you that no one else will be able to do. God will give you strength when you need it, power when you need it, if you would trust Him. Because the same God that gave David the strength to kill the lion and the bear is the same God that gave David the strength to bring down the giant. And giants will come in your life, and they'll come in all different ways. As you grow up later on in life, you'll have a test to do, an exam to do, and it feels like a giant, and God will give you the calmness and the wisdom. And there are different things will come into your life as you grow older. Giants. You know what David looked at? See, all the people were looking at how big the giant was. What do you think David was looking at? Anyone want to help me? How big God is. Very good. See, we don't look at how big the giant is or the problem is. We look at how big the God is that we serve. We want to stand up and sing that song. Anybody know that song, My God is So Big? Who knows it? And the action to go with it. Anybody know the action to go with it? All right, good, good. Come, Dina. Come sit here with me. No, come right here, sit with me. Well, no, I want you to help me with it. I don't know the actions. I always mix up with different. Just come and sit here with me.
You don't want to see a big, ugly giant.
Oh, no, you're a good-looking giant. But, you know, the thing is, the God that you serve, if you look at how big He is, He's a big God. And He could conquer anything that comes in your life. No matter how big the giant is, how ugly it is, how strong it looks, my God, your God, is stronger than all the lions put together, and all the giants put together, and all the bear put together. So trust Him as you grow up in life. Know, just like David was able to conquer the bear, the lion, and the giant, you will also. And it will come in all form and all kind of fashion. But keep your eyes on God. Let's stand and sing that song. You know, I always get tired with the thing. So, help us out. My God is so strong and so mighty. Yes, my God can do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God can do. Mountains are His, the river are His, Zar is handiwork too. My God is so strong and so mighty, there's nothing God can do for you. Let us pray. Father, we thank You and praise You, Lord God, for the story of David, a man after Your own heart, a young boy that was able to stand before the giant, and then You gave him the power. It wasn't, Lord God, a big stone, but it was just because You were the one in control. I pray You would bless these young children. As they grow up in life and the different giants will come, Lord God, that You would make them to be giant slayers, that they would slay many, many giants that would come before them. In Your power and Your might, we thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, have a seat. This is a time we like to, right? This is a good time. We're going to start from a rose now, okay? Since we have a rose. We've got a lot of children tonight. Is all the children from this church? Boy, man. Okay, all right. Question number one. We're going back. If you wasn't here the first day, you lose out. Right? So we're going to go back. We want to remember this week's stories. The very first day, Sunday morning, what was the chapter and verse? Champion did a little bit for you. I said I was going to start in the front, but all right, Luke 15. You give me the verse. Do you know the verse? You know the verse. Okay, there were three men in the stories. Who are the three men? Very good. Crew, you come up, get your stuff. Take a handful, just one hand. I had someone took two hands the last time. I'm watching you this time from the side. All right. So remember that story. It was a story of the if it fell, you lose it. Sorry. It was a story of a young son, was a prodigal son, and he ran away. And remember, it was a parable. He came back home, and you know, he was welcomed by his father. Then you had the older brother. He was at home, but his heart was, he didn't really like the fact that the brother was being all brought back in. And then we talked about the other thing is, sometimes being the younger sibling, you get away with things the older sibling don't get away with. And then we talk about the father. Remember the story of the father. The father had a lot of what? The father was great in what? There was something the father was good in. What was it? A what? That was good, but let me hear. Forgiveness. Another word we use was? Grace. Another word we use is? Back there, yeah. Go ahead. Love. Another word we use is? Go ahead. You yourself. Yeah, yeah. Mercy. Okay, so all four of you come up. Come on up, all four. Who said something? Who's for you? Five of you for you? Okay. Boy, the boys are beating the girls out today. What's going on here? All right, this one is for girls only. Sorry, guys. Shh. This one is for the girls only. And this one is an easy one. Last night, we talked about two women. Remember last night? Uh-oh, one person wasn't here last night. I can see her already thinking, uh-oh, I missed it. Well, there was, I missed you last night. Did I tell you that, or did I tell you I missed you last night? What's her name again?
Kiana.
Kiana, I missed you last night. You wasn't here to sit up front and encourage me.
It's Diana.
Diana, okay, sorry. I messed up on that one. Okay, so last night we had two ladies in the stories. We said one was a woman who had something that was expensive, and she gave it to Jesus. What was it? The oil. Okay, very good. The alabaster oil. Remember, she was expensive, was the best thing she had, and God wants your best. Give him your best. The second woman was which one again? Was it two women we spoke about last night? A woman who said that the bread on the master's table, you know, she wanted the bread, and Jesus said, it's not good for me to give the children's bread to the dog. What did she say? Anybody remember? Any of you ladies remember? It is not good to give the children's bread to the dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, but even the little dogs, finish it for me, even the little dogs, all right, guys, you get a chance. But even the little dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. Did you get to come up yet? Come on up. And we talked last night about the crumbs. If it comes from God, hey, if he gives you the crumbs, it is. Oh, they're laughing. You can't fit in here? Guess what? I'll be nice to you. Here we go. Everything on top of here is yours now. And that's a reminder for you. All right. Give us that song. Get ready that song. We're going to get ready for the story if we remember where I stopped last night. But while you're getting the song to remember, it's the mercies of God. You know, I tell my story every night, and you sit there and you listen. But you know, the same God that brought me out of those things is the same God will keep you. The same God that, through his grace, brought me back into the fold is the same God who will keep you. All right, have we have that song yet? Oh, okay, here we go. Well, you know what? Let's stand up and sing one more song. Anybody have a song? Come on, give me a song here. A nice children's song. Huh?
My God is so great.
Again? You like that one? Okay, great. Let's go with it, man. My God is so. So. No adults, please. My God is so. So strong. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. All right, have you seated? We're going to have that song. And if after the song, you can go back to your seats if you want to. Well, let's stand and we're going to sing that song. For I'm alive to tell a story how I overcome His goodness and mercy
and the power of the blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. Goodness and mercy and the power of
Father, we thank you and praise you. We give you the glory, we give you the praise, we give you the honor because you are God and there's none like you. Thank you for the finished work that was done on the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you didn't remain in the grave, but you rose again. And so our sins are buried and we came alive. We give you thanks and praise for your mercy, for your grace, and for your love. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. And God, people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Children, if you want to sit with your parents, you can. If you want to sit there, hey, great. I love when you sit up close. I love you in the front there. But Don't let it separate the families if you want to. All right. Where did I stop last night? Oh. Forgot now. Senior moment again. Well, we didn't remember, do you? Should I just get right into the word, or you think you remember where I stopped last night? What happened? Huh? Oh, I was dating, and then something happened, right? Oh, yes. Well, what happened was, one day, the young lady I was dating, remember last night I told you I stayed away from immorality, getting involved, being that V word, even though I was 20 years old. I never wanted to get involved because I knew this word SEX is like, it's like a car that you put on a hill, and the car has no brakes, and you don't get into that car until you're ready to go all the way down the hill, until you're married. But you start touching, you start holding hands, and it goes from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And then I was told by this young lady one day, I have something to say to you. And I said, what is it? And she said, she's pregnant. How did that happen? No, well, I know it happened. Because we moved from touching and going to a different place that we should never have gone. Now, I wasn't a Christian. She wasn't a Christian. She was Catholic. And, you know, once you go to the priest, he could forgive your sins and everything as well. But with me, I didn't have no sins to forgive because I wasn't a sinner, at least so I thought. Well, she was pregnant, and I had to make a decision. Well, I loved the girl, and I never wanted a child of mine to grow up without a dad, like I did. So I went to her mother. It was a very hard time to tell her mother what happened. And told her mother, she was hard for her. This was a daughter who was doing great in school. This was a daughter who was going to help the family. And now she got to get married and move away. So, my wife would have been about, how old was she? I talked to somebody today and I told them, she normally say 18, but she would be a little younger than that. I had to get permission from her mom to get married. She was 17. And then in less than a month, she would have been 18. So, but you were 17 or 18? All right. Anyway, I was 20. She was 17, going on 18. Very young years, got married. You know, the interesting thing is, we're going to get married. On the day for the wedding, I forgot I was getting married. So I'm out there hanging out with the guys, and they were smoking a little thing and getting high. Oh, wait a minute. Today's my wedding. Whew, guys. So I left, went to get a bath. There was no water, no running water. You know, in the islands, you never know when water's coming out of the faucet. There was no water. You ever see those old Western, you kick a, wash under the arms, make sure it does, you know, and kind of wash the face. And then I put on my little clothes that I had on, and no, how did I get to the church? I don't even have a car. Well, I had a friend had a car, and makes a lot of noise. The nice thing about the car, it was air-conditioned, because on the flooring was a big hole. It was nice air coming up, and then if he wasn't high enough, you get the smoke too. So he said, yeah, I'll take you. So he took me. Now, in my country, it's a tradition. For the wedding, the girl don't go in first. The guy must be there first. He must go in first. It's sort of a tradition, or if, you know, if it doesn't happen that way, the marriage wouldn't work. So her car was circling the church. It was the biggest church in the island, called the Cathedral of Immaculate Conception, Catholic Church. Matter of fact, I had to go to meet the priest, and he would tell me about growing up my children to be Catholic. But I was so high, I just say yes for everything. And I didn't know what he was talking about. But that day, she circled and circled, and people wondered, hey, this guy ran away. And then I came, sweating and running down the aisles. And everybody was like, okay, there's a wedding today. She came, we got married. I tell this to young people. I know there's a lot of children here, so I wouldn't go into detail. But I tell young people, wait for that special day, that special night, when God will bring two together and make them one. I've heard many stories. We didn't have that. You know, for our honeymoon, we went the next day. We just went on the beach and hang out with some friends. We didn't have that expectation of a honeymoon. We lost off on that because the honey was already gone. There was only the moon left. And so we got married. We had our first child. It was a girl, a beautiful young girl. We call her Daniela. Daniela? All right, Daniela. Okay, so I had that void, that hole. Now I have a wife, I have a child, but there was still something missing. Child was beautiful, a little chubby, is laughing and giggling. Child is 6 months old and got sick. Back then we had something called gastroenteritis, right? Right, some gastro, and whatever, big word. What it meant is a fly came with a germ, and the fly get the germ, and the child start diarrhea and vomiting. Back then, what they do is they stop the child from diarrhea and vomiting. When you're supposed to let it all come out, they try to stop it. Took the child to the hospital, and the next day, we got back to the hospital, and something happened. Something happened. Let's get into the Word of God. We talk about the prodigal son, the older brother, the father. Last time we talked about the two women, one that had the faith to believe and the trust and the perseverance. She needed help. She needed healing. She didn't give up. And the healing wasn't for her. It was for her daughter. The healing was for her daughter. Today I want to tell you two other stories of two women. The second woman we had last night was the one who wanted to worship God. Didn't mind what it took, what it cost, how shameful it may look, with her weeping and taking her hair down and wiping his feet and washing his feet and kissing that dirty feet. For what she received, she wanted to give it to him. Oh. I want to get to you another story. Let me see how good you know your Bible. The next story is about two people. It was a man who was, his name was Jairus. He had a name. And his daughter was sick. And he needed healing. And then there's a woman with the issue of blood that needed healing. Does anybody know where I can find that in the Bible? Come on. Two stories. Jairus. Oh. I know some of you with your phone kind of Googling it now, right? We're not going to go until you could tell me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I give you a good help. And this is open for adults and children. Everybody say, I know that story. The story of the woman with the issue of blood. Yeah, I read that. I heard that story before. Oh, the centurion. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, I know. But where is it found in the Bible? Huh? Luke 8. Let's see if she writes here. Luke 8. I was looking at the other one, but Luke 8. Luke 8 what? 41. Is she right? Well, it's found in Luke and it's found in Mark. But since she told us the one in Luke, we'll just go with Luke. Everybody got Luke? The 8th chapter? When you get it, say amen. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named... My name? Okay, so he has a name, right? We're going to watch that. He has a name. His name was Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. Think about that. Man with great esteem. You know, he was a man that was well known, well respected, yet he came to the feet of Jesus and begged him to come to his house. He had a daughter, an only daughter. She was about how old? Underline that, 12 years old. And she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes pushed at him. We're going to stop right there for a little bit. Remember that story? Remember this part of the story? All of a sudden, the story changes. Now there was a certain woman, no name. No name. We had a man with big name, big esteem. He bent on Jesus' feet. He begged him to come. And now there was a certain woman, no name, who having a flow, an issue of blood for how many years? How many years? 12 years. So this girl was 12 years. So this woman had an issue of blood. 12 years. So when she started having the issue of blood, this girl was born. We're going to get a connection in a little bit. And the woman had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. So she came from behind Jesus and touched the border of his garment. And immediately the flow stopped. I wish I had that picture that I have to show up here. I was trying to get it done here. I have a picture I got in a church in Israel. Of all you see is a feet. Dirty feet with sandals on it and a hand. And what do you think about it? This woman had an issue of blood for how many years? 12 years. Now, if a woman had an issue of blood, in the Old Testament it tells us, if a woman had an issue of blood and she sat on that chair, no man could sit there. She was unclean. So let's say, if there was a birthday party, she couldn't go. If it was a children's anniversary, she couldn't go. She had no relationship, no friends, no. She couldn't go anywhere. There was no birthday parties. She couldn't go to church. She couldn't be in the synagogue. So spiritually, she was dead. When it comes to family, and then the money she had, all the money she had, she spent on doctors. So she was broke. Now, if she couldn't just walk up and let people see her, how did she get to touch his garment? Well, when I look at that picture, I thought of it as a way, there's a big crowd, and with hiding her face, she went down and crawled, that's my interpretation, to just touch the hem of his garment. Just like the woman who was invited to come into the party and went yesterday into the party, and when she went in, you know, they looked at her with scorn because she was a sinner. This woman had a different issue. She had an issue where she was not supposed to be seen in public. You know, back in the old days, like a man with leprosy. Leprosy, you know, unclean, unclean. She was unclean because she had an issue of blood. Now, if she had an issue of blood, and she touched someone, they can get contaminated. But it's amazing. She had an issue of blood. She just touched Jesus, and she got healed. Her breathing stopped. Let's continue for a little bit here. And she came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said what? Who touched me? Somebody touched me. When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes are pushing and pressing towards you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive the power going out of me. But Master, everybody's pushing. Everybody's shoving, and you're asking, who touched me? It was different. One of the reasons I don't always give an altar call, because everybody just come up because people are coming. And everybody go back. But I would say, if God really, or you really want something, you're going to step out and come. Don't come because I say, you know, come and everybody is coming. I know many of us grew up that way, you know. Everybody's getting baptized, so you get baptized. Later on, you confess that I wasn't really ready yet. Oh, everybody's going up to get a touch, and You see, everybody was standing around Jesus. Everybody was there, but yet nobody got healed. You ever really think about that? Everyone was there. They were pushing. They were shoving. I mean, Jesus was the main thing everybody wanted to get from him. And yet, this one woman had faith. I don't care what you're going through. If you could only touch the hem of his garment, you would be made whole, it says. Verse 47. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. She said, if I would only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She had faith to believe because she had heard about him. And she wanted to put her feet into action. Are you ready to put your feet into action? Are you tired of being tired? You see, we come to church sometime and we have a good appearance on the outside, but deep down inside, there's an issue. It may not be blood, but there's an issue. And you see people getting healed and people getting restored and people's lives are being changed and transformed. And you wonder, what happened to me? See, everybody was around Jesus. But one person had the faith to believe that if I will only touch. See, that's a whole message in itself, just the garment thing. It's a whole message in itself. When you go back into the Old Testament. But she said, if I'll only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Verse 48, and he said to when she said it, she said, daughter, he said, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. See, when God does something in your life, you need to give a testimony. See, she was going to leave. But when he says, somebody touched me, and she knew that he knew who it was, she had to give a testimony. And she said, this is what happened. I came here. I mean, you know I have an issue of blood. You know I have problems. But when I touch him, something happened. When I touched him. Now, what did Jairus say? Let's just back up a little bit. What did Jairus say? I beg you to come to my house. And he was saying to, in Mark it says, he said, if you would come and just touch my daughter, she'd be made whole. This woman was interceding for herself. Jairus was interceding for his daughter. And all of a sudden, there was a stop. This woman was being attended to. And he said, woman, your faith. See, it wasn't just the touch you touched me. It was your faith, believing in my power, believing in who I am, that I have all the authority and all the power to make you whole again. I have all the power for whatever you're going through, Jesus is saying to you tonight, to make you whole again. Whatever it is, whatever the hidden sin is, I could cleanse you of it. Whether it's greed, whether it's lust, whether it's whatever it is, he says, I have the power to take it away. But you must have the faith to trust me for healing. Healing of the heart, physical. You see, sometimes we say, but if this is true, how come? Okay, let me give you a quick one here. I see I won't be able to get to the next story, but anyway. A quick one. About 30 years ago, we lived in New Jersey. About 30 years, we lived in New Jersey, 30 years ago. And we had a dry cleaning business. And all of a sudden, when I cough, I had a pain in my chest. Every time I cough, My wife said, go take care of it. I'm working. I'm trying to keep the family. You know, everybody was working. My wife was helping. It was a family business. And one day I decided, okay, I'm going to go to the doctor. I went to the doctor and they did an x-ray. And they said, you have bilateral pneumonia, meaning in my both lungs. It was messed up. I mean, they had all kind of scars and things on my lungs. Well, at that time, they had a disease that was looked upon by one people, the homosexual. It was called AIDS. So the doctor called me in the room, very quiet. When the doctor called you in the room and told you to sit down, it's a big one. So he put me to sit down and he says, from what we see, you're a young man, a healthy man, but your lungs, you have pneumonia. And that's a sign of your immune system being weak, and we believe you have the AIDS virus. Well, I never got involved in some of those things those people got involved in, but as I think back over my life, I had an involvement with other people, women. And I started thinking, well, this one is still alive, this one is still alive. And the devil starts working. I had just got saved, maybe, 2 years? Got saved, and now I'm in the Christ, I'm in the church, and all of a sudden the devil's attacking. And the doctor said, we'll do some more tests. They put me into a room. Just me in the room. Nobody else in the room. And they had a ventilation system where the air comes out. And when you come in, you have a mask on and gloves on. It wasn't COVID yet, but we still had a mask on. You had mask on and gloves on. And the doctors kept me in. They couldn't figure what it was. Eventually, they sent me home. And then they called one day, and I wasn't home. And they're talking to my daughter. Is your dad home? Nope. Is he acting strange? That's the kind of question they ask my daughter. Is your dad acting strange? They think I always act strange. Well, I mean, he's a strange man anyway, so yeah, okay. Did we think he have tuberculosis? And we have a church retreat that day. He shouldn't go out. He could put a mask on if he's going out. Well, I didn't know about masks back then. Who wear masks? I mean, back in some of the Asian countries, people wear masks all the time, but we didn't wear masks. That's how you listen to them. Well, to make the story short, eventually they found out it was something called sarcoidosis. It was a disease where you get, nobody knows where it comes from, but it attacks certain parts of your body. And when I get the pain, I had to be shooted up with steroids. What is it called? Prednisone. So then they saw in my eyes was the problem. I had to get prednisone drops. And I was having all kind of issues. I had 6 doctor's appointments in 1 week. Because it was blood where there shouldn't be blood. And there's not blood where there should be blood. And there was all kind of stuff happening. Even had a kidney stone. Or a couple of them. And I was praying one day, and I just felt God says, fast and pray before me. Okay, Lord? And for 5 days, I fasted and prayed, just drank and prayed. On the 6th day, I felt okay. By the 7th day, I went to the doctor. And they couldn't find the kidney stone. They couldn't find no problem. Everything looked great. The doctor told me, well, you know what it is. The body heals itself. I said, Doc, God healed me. It wasn't no body healed itself. The body didn't do anything. It was God did it. So, miraculously, now I'm telling you that it always happens that way. Because for the last 20 years, I have diabetes and I've been praying and God says my grace is sufficient. So, but do I stop? Do I stop trusting and believing? He has kept me. Maybe tomorrow I'll tell you about some losses I had with the diabetes. You're looking at me right now, but there's a lot of things that happened in the last couple of years. But this woman believed. It doesn't mean to say that you do not believe. Because that's the way, by faith. And she had the faith. And he says, woman, your faith has made you well. While he was still speaking, verse 49, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue house and saying to him, your daughter is dead. Wow. I mean, Jesus, you were coming. You were coming with us. We were trusting you. This woman stopped you. If she didn't stop you, to get there on time. You get there on time. You were late. No, you're late. Have you ever thought of Jesus? You were late. You were late. This woman was an obstacle. You ever thought about the story of, what was his name? Lazarus, right? Remember the story of Lazarus? They sent word to Jesus. They said, hey, the sister said, hey, Master, you know, the one whom you love, the one who loves you is sick. Come quickly. Your friend, Lazarus, is sick. Come quickly. And Jesus stayed a couple of days. Disciples were, wait a minute. Your friend is sick. You are the physician, because you are Jesus. And you're saying, let's just, you know, so that the Father can be glorified. And then after a couple of days, he went, and when he got there, the first sister ran out and says, Master, if you had come on time, my brother would not be dead. No, you're late. The other sister came, Master, if you had come on time, my sister, just what my sister said, you would not be dead. Or my Lazarus would not be dead. And Jesus said, do you believe? Yeah, I believe. Believe in the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. He who believes in me will live and not die. Where did you put him? Where did you lay him? Master, come on now. When you should have come, you didn't come. Now you're asking where we lay him. The man stinketh. You were late. He ain't never late. I don't care what you're going through right now. He's not late. He knows exactly what's happening and he knows the timing. I can give you many stories on that. He's never late. And then he saw them weeping. And the shortest verse in the Bible is, Jesus wept. No, what are you weeping about, Jesus? Well, come on. I mean, look what he did later on. Did he know he was going to raise Lazarus? Yes. But he feels your pain. He didn't weep without hope. Because he weeps when we weeps. He rejoices when we rejoices. And he got to the gravesite and where the tomb is, and he says, Lazarus! Isn't it amazing? If he had said dead, come out, how many dead would have been running out to the grave? He said, Lazarus, you're the only one I want to come out here tonight. Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth all bunged up with dead clothing, and he said, loose him! Set him free. Set him free. Set him free. Tonight you want to set somebody free. You've been living like dead. You may be walking around all tied up. Maybe there's hate, there's bitterness, there's anger, there's jealousy, there is. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is. The woman was healed. Lazarus was brought back to life again. Yet he died again, so that God could be glorified. Because the Bible says when the Jews were going back, they marveled at what they had seen. Let's continue the story. We already run out of time. But when Jesus heard in verse 50, he answered him saying, do not be afraid, only believe. I want you someday when you have a time, just to look at this whole chapter and see how many times you see that word believe. 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 If you look in also with Lazarus, story there, believe, believe, believe. She will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter and James and John and the father of the girl. Now all the people wept and mourned for her. And he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. You got to be crazy. I mean, come on, Jesus. She's dead. You stopped with that woman that blocked you. And by the time you got here, it's late. She's dead. And now you're trying to give us false hope. She's dead. And he said, no, she's sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. And they ridiculed him. They laughed at him. And sometimes people would laugh at you when they tell you, when you tell them what God is going to do. I have some stories of people thought I was crazy when I told them what I was going to do. Maybe tomorrow I'll give you one of those stories. You know, I'm an immigrant, right? I came to this country. And I had to get green card and all that stuff. Tomorrow I'll tell you how God moved. The people were apologizing to me that I didn't even thought was even cared about me because of what God can do. They ridiculed him. Verse 54, but he put them outside. See, sometimes you got to push people away. Sometimes when they try to tear down your faith and trust and belief in God and what he can do, and you tell them that God has given you a word, and God says you're going to do this, I'm going to bring your children back to you. I'm going to turn the hearts of the children back to the Father. And sometimes I'm going to make a move in this church that people will be in awe. And God give you a word like that, and yeah, but you don't know the people in this church, God. Yes, he does. See, I'm going to restore your family. I'm going to restore your home. I'm going to restore your health. I'm going to restore your wealth. Yeah, but Lord, it's too far gone right now. It's dead right now. And sometimes you got to get rid of some of the people. Some of the who are walking just by sight and not by faith. Sometimes we have to part ways. And he put them out of the house except Peter, James, and John, the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead and sleeping. They ridicule him. But he put them outside, took her by the hand, and called her, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she rose immediately. And he commanded them to give her something to eat. To show that she's not a spirit, she's alive. The spirits don't eat. She's alive. Give her something to eat. Let's stand. I don't know for you tonight. I don't know what you're going through tonight. For 12 years, this woman had an issue of blood. A child was 12 years old. One woman had faith to believe. One woman had faith to believe for herself. One man had faith to believe for his daughter. She was healed. Do you have that faith? If I could only touch the hem of his garment. Jesus, if you'll only come and touch my daughter, she'll be restored. All we need is a touch. Always a touch. Tonight, with all head bowed and all eye closed, you're here tonight. And maybe God spoke to you somewhere in this message that you need to intercede for yourself or someone else. Maybe you have something that you need to give to him tonight. An issue you've been holding on to for a long time. A sin. A lack of victory. A lack of whatever it is you have tonight. Just come and touch the hem of his garment and you'll be made whole. He said, I will give you back what the enemy has taken. What the canker worms and the caterpillar has eaten, I'll restore back to you. Or maybe you're here tonight and there's someone you want to intercede for. Tonight is the night, but you have to step out tonight. Tonight is a night we need you to come to the altar and we're going to pray. You're here tonight and you say, you know what? I need to come for myself. I have an issue that I want Jesus to heal. It could be hate, jealousy, unforgiveness, hard-heartedness, lust. I don't know what it is. But you're standing there right now and you feel, if I come up to the altar, people are going to look down at me. Let them look down, you look up. Because they can't help you. I want to give an invitation tonight. I wanted to sing that song of His amazing grace. And as we sing, if you want to come to the altar tonight, maybe for something you want to give, because you need a touch from Him or you need Him to touch you. Maybe for you or for someone else. I don't need to know for who. I want you to come and kneel at the altar, and we're going to pray. Somebody who can sing, just start that song, Amazing Grace, and you can come if you need to. Come, and we're going to pray for healing. I don't have healing, but I know the one that can do it. And I can intercede and pray. I can bring you to Jesus, but you've got to come in faith. Don't come because someone else is coming, unless you're coming to be with them. Come because you have a need, whether it's for your own self or for someone else. No matter who's looking at you. For two nights, we talk about people who had to come. Be brave enough to come and lay at the feet of the cross. So with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, no time to be looking around. Let's sing that song, Amazing Grace. And if you want to come, just come and we'll pray. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost. Thank you, Jesus. Now I can see. I was blind. Now I can see. Now I can see the heavens. 'Twas grace towards my heart. Anyone else wants to come? In grace, believe, how precious is that grace appeared the hour I first believe. When we been there. If you're back there and you see someone here, you want to come and just give a hug and just pray with them. Just come on up. You see someone here that needs prayer. Just come. Don't even ask them what it is. Just pray. Just touch and agree with them. We need a couple of ladies to come. Believe. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We need someone else to come. June, would you come? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah to you, Lord Jesus. You are worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Lord, thank you for my brother, Lord God. Bless him, Lord God. You know the desire of his heart. And you said you will give us the desire of our heart. Whatever his need is, God, just pour your love and your grace and your mercy. Oh, God, just be with him. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you tonight for those that are here, oh, God. I pray, God, whatever the needs is, you said, God, that Weeping endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. We give you glory. We give you praise. You know the hearts of these here, your children, Lord God, that are sitting here, standing here, kneeling here. Oh God, bless them from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. In the name of Jesus, restore the years of the canker woman, the caterpillar has taken, Lord God. Give grace and mercy and love, oh God, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Oh God, no weapon formed you against you shall prosper. God makes you victorious in Jesus Christ. Father, bless them and keep them. God, whatever it is, you said you will give us the desire for our heart. Oh God, we just ask, touch them. For the tears that have been shed yesterday, Lord, you died. They're not alone. You're with them. And we think of those stories. Lord, there are some in the audience here, Lord God, that needs to come. But Lord is afraid of what someone may say. I pray they will just open their hearts right where they are right now to you, Lord God. Deliver. Lord, there are some today with temptation and lust. There are some today with hate and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. There are some that need physical, mental, emotional healing. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the blood, touch and move and heal and restore and bring back that prodigal and change the heart of that older brother and help us to see the Father and his love and his mercy. Where there is sin, Lord God, may there be repentance. And Lord, you say as far as the east is from the west, the sins will no longer be remembered. Father, tonight, bless these your children. Help us, Lord God, to remember this night. Not coming because everyone was coming, but because we wanted a touch from you, or we wanted to touch the hem of your garment. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go, do you have another song we could sing? Someone knows a song that we can sing? Just start it up.